Japan's inflation hits a 40-year high. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Will Bain. Thanks very much for joining us. 3.7% might not sound like a lot. In the context of much of the world right now, it isn't. But that isn't the context we're talking about this morning. For decades in Japan, inflation has been strictly controlled by the central bank. Interest rates, as a result, have also been kept super low at 0.1%. All of this is to try and tackle the sluggish nature of the country's economy. But now those protections are feeling the squeeze. The yen has fallen dramatically against the dollar in the past year, driving up the cost of imports and, as a result, prices. A holiday headache then for the government and the central bank, as Mariko Oi told me.
That is actually the highest level since 1981. But that's because for much of the last three decades, prices have stayed pretty steady. If anything, they were suffering from what's known as deflation, falling prices. Now the country is getting this inflation, but the real issue is that wages haven't actually caught up with it. In fact, salaries haven't gone up in those three decades at all. So as a result, consumers are really starting to feel the pinch. And this latest inflation figure is a huge headache for the Bank of Japan, which has just surprised the market earlier this week, basically tweaking its monetary policy. And we saw a huge move in the Japanese yen's value. But that was not enough to cushion the blow of the inflation. And it's a really tricky balancing act for the Bank of Japan at the moment.
And that figure you talk about, Mariko, of course, doesn't include food, where we know that that is going up very quickly as well because of what's happening around the world. Paint a picture for us of what it's like for ordinary people at the moment.
Everything is going up. I was there a couple of months ago. Everyone that I've spoken to was complaining about it. And, you know, I did a report about how our everyday snack, it's never gone up in prices, but it had to go up for the first time in 81 years or something like that. But one of the big issues for Japan is that because the economy was still very sluggish, the Bank of Japan hasn't raised interest rates like the US or the UK or European central banks. And because of the difference in interest rates, the Japanese yen has been weakening quite a lot. And that, of course, increases prices of what Japan imports. And most of that is energy, food. And as a result, those prices have gone up sharply. Now, the government has been really trying to encourage the Japanese companies to raise salaries. But of course, after decades of not doing so, it's not something that they could do overnight. As a result, there's a huge catch up. In the meantime, it's ordinary consumers who are suffering.
The BBC's Mariko Oi, thanks for breaking all of that down for us and very happy holidays to you.
Thank you, Will, and happy holidays to you and all our listeners.
Well, let's take a look at the holiday numbers now. Yeah, stocks pretty flat in Europe on the final day of pre-Christmas trading. Those winter of strikes here in the UK we've been telling you about, though, hit international travellers today as staff at border security go on strike, including in the country's main airports ahead of the Christmas getaway. Elsewhere, a big story we've been following throughout the year, Turkey has announced it will raise its minimum wage by 55% next year to try and counter one of the highest inflation rates in the world. What a job producer James Graham's given me today to describe in one line the British oddity and curiosity of pantomimes. It's a Christmas staple of entertainment here, actors in flamboyant costumes performing fairy tales peppered with bawdy and topical jokes. They're back after 2 years of COVID disruption and massive financial losses for theatres, as Luke Jones reports.
In a busy rehearsal room, producer Michael Harrison is glad to be back at it.
We had 2 years of Pantoland, which was our special COVID-style show to keep us safe and socially distanced audiences and socially distanced actors in the first year. But this is back to a full-on Palladium, huge extravaganza.
His London show is one of the biggest, with a regular star attraction.
Hello, Julian Clary. What else do you want to know?
Ideal Panto, what are all the ingredients that you want and need?
Vulgarity. Carefully honed, I like to think. I am aware that children are wondering why the adults are laughing. But it has to be said, at our prices, there's not a lot of children in the audience. There really aren't.
Panto is good fun, but it's also good business for the venues. 30% of their annual takings, according to the Theatres Trust. 180 pantos were closed during the pandemic, and they're only just getting back.
For our happy couple, Mick and Tommy!
another big name production on London's West End and soon out on the road.
Well, my name's Carolyn Goose, Mrs. Goose, Mother Goose.
A knight of the realm frocked up as a dame, Ian McKellen, whose production of Mother Goose is touring the UK until Easter.
Oh, yes, of course, yes. Well, as long as my knees don't give way and I can still remember the lines. Popularity of pantomime is crucial to the survival of many of the theatre buildings where it plays. But I wish other people would tour in other sorts of things, you know, from Shakespeare downwards or upwards and sideways. I think it's very unfair if you live far away from London that you can't see the sort of plays that we can easily hear.
And is that laziness, do you think?
It's expense, and also people have got out of the habit of touring, and therefore audiences in the regions have perhaps got out of the habit of going to the theatre because there isn't the product that they perhaps want to see. It's always very enjoyable to arrive in town, set up shop just for a week and make an impact and then fly on to the next place. It's very romantic.
The British actor Sir Ian McKellen there. And finally, well, it is Christmas time, and Christmas, of course, a time for thanks and reflection. So a huge thanks to all of our team here, to James and Ben at the controls today, to Katie, Elizabeth and Joe. Thankful also to the support and friendship of my predecessors, Stephen Ryan and Victoria Craig, and to all of you for listening. Thanks very much.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.